I want to welcome Agile XRM to the podcast. I've known the people at Agile XRM for the past 12 years. I've seen how their business process management tool can add massive value to complex organizational processes in sectors such as finance and government. If you have complex processes or a need for dialogues on the Power Platform or Dynamics 365, take a look at how this BPM tool can add value. You can find them at agilexrm.com or check out the show notes for more details. Welcome to the MVP Show. My intention is that you listen to the stories of these MVP guests and are inspired to become an MVP and bring value to the world through your skills. If you have not checked it out already, I do a YouTube series called How to Become an MVP. The link is in the show notes. With that, let's get on with the show. Today's guest is from the United Kingdom. He works for Tech Labs London as a solution architect and owner. He's been an MVP for about 5 years. We'll get him to confirm. But he's a regular speaker on the speaking circuit, talking about Power Apps, Dynamics, customer engagement, AI, chatbots, cloud and digital transformation, and customer technology strategy. You can find him on Twitter at MIMCRM. Welcome to the show, Mohammed Mustafa.
Hi, Mark. Thanks very much for having me. Great to be here.
Thanks, man. I reckon your last name has got to be like the best last name on earth. Just reminds you of Mustafa, you know, like out of the movie. Was it in a movie? Yeah.
Yeah, it feels so like cool. I've got two first names. A lot of people call me Mustafa. Some people call me Muhammad. So.
Oh, true.
Yeah. It works.
I could imagine you in a boxing ring and, you know, the caller on the ring coming, Mohammed Mustafa. Yeah, it's like awesome. It's a real rock
and then I get
type
beaten
name,
up
I feel. No. So, Mohammed, it's been a long time since you've been on the podcast. You came on the podcast, back in the early days of me starting podcasting. And I know what we talked about because, and this is a thing, I've done over 350, I think, odd podcasts, and I don't remember many of the podcasts I do. But I know that, GDPR, was it the big talk of the day back then? It was coming and everyone was like, how's this going to affect our CRM data? And so we had a big chat around what GDPR. What GDPR was, how it was going to impact business. And of course, I think it was one of the most listened to episodes because a lot of companies, a lot of individuals needed tools to know what does this mean. And of course, now we're three or four years on since GDPR has been in market and it's accepted.
It is indeed. I think GDPR came into effect in May 2018. So it's almost 4 years now. And I think there was a lot of panic before. And I, you know, not by design, I found myself getting into GDPR and GDPR for Microsoft Dynamics 365 and having to learn a lot about it. Although I was never an expert, but it was important and essential enough for the work I was doing. But yeah, as you said, I think, fast forwarding to today, we have pretty much every organization taking GDPR on board, especially in Europe and the United Kingdom and quite a few other countries who work with Europe or have similar data protection laws. And it's absorbed, accepted, and implemented now in every program we do.
Yeah, absolutely right. It's become, and Microsoft has adopted it universally. It doesn't matter whether you're in Europe or not.
Absolutely. And I think it brings a lot of controls as well for organizations as a data controller, for partners if they are data processors, and of course Microsoft as providers of the cloud, brings a lot of controls and also discipline for a lot of us, which, you know, I think it was there, but it wasn't as strong as it is now.
Yeah. So tell us a bit about you. Family, food, and fun. What do they mean to you? I follow you on socials. I've seen you be traveling lots lately. But what do you do when you're not working?
Good question. So I have been traveling recently, and I think as hopefully the pandemic is coming to an end, I would like to think. I have felt, and I'm sure you have felt as well, Mark, you've traveled a lot all the time. I started to feel that I'm a bird in a cage. So I was really looking forward for the ease of the pandemic and started to travel quite a bit, mostly for business, but it was good. It was still good to get on planes and travel from place to the other. So yeah, so family is good. Still have two boys who are growing fast and becoming men. Still call them boys, but they are coming up to be adults now. And work is growing as fast as I hoped for, or maybe a little bit more. And the travel is fun. We have an office in United Arab Emirates, Dubai, Abu Dhabi. I've got two offices there, and I've been there for quite a few times in the last few months.
And what about your Cairo office?
So the Cairo office is also growing, although it has been shut because of the pandemic for almost 2 years now. But the team in Cairo is growing fast, and it's when on the occasions when we get the team together or some of the team together, it's a lot of fun for the team to meet up. But we've been very careful not to force anyone to go back to the office unless they're comfortable to do so. So it has been a slow return to the office in Cairo. Unlike in the UK, for example, we started to get back to the office for a few months. We're regularly almost every day in the office. And very few people working remotely.
And you're originally from Egypt, right?
I am indeed, yes.
Yeah. So do you get back there much yourself?
Surprisingly, I'm not. I've been to Egypt very few times over the past few years, only because, you know, we can conduct our business from anywhere in the world. Most of my family are actually in the UK. So the reason to travel to Egypt, other than for fun and tourism, is I don't have kind of any urgency. And also from a customer perspective, most of our customers in the Middle East are around the United Arab Emirates and the Gulf region. So most of my business trips are around this area as opposed to Cairo or Egypt. But yeah, it's always fun to be in Egypt and in the whole region. I think the region around Dubai, and I don't know if you've been to Dubai recently, Mark. I know you've traveled a lot, but I don't know if you have. But
not for the last couple of years.
Yeah.
I've definitely been through Dubai a few times.
Sure you did. Yeah, but it's growing massively as a hub for business as well, and lots of people are moving there now with the digital era that we're living in. Anyone can work from anywhere in the world. There's quite a few digital nomads that are settling around Dubai, which is also generating a lot of interesting dynamics in this part of the world.
Yeah, it's interesting. I haven't heard that term digital nomads for probably 2 or 3 years, yet I felt that I was one right when I was traveling
so much
at that time. But I suppose, you know, we've all been digital now for so long, maybe not nomadic as the term, but I assume that post-pandemic, you know, people have, as you say, bird in a cage, got cabin fever. People are just going to get out and explore. I'm already clocking up the number of locations I want to go to. I never went to Egypt, and the closest I've been to Egypt was on the other side of the Sudan, a little country called Eritrea. And I feel like there's so much of the continent of Africa that needs to be unpacked and explored. And then South America, there's another whole area that I haven't gone to or visited much, let alone, you know, I've done areas of Asia and I want to do more. But yeah, I tell you what, I'm looking forward to the pandemic being over.
You know, I'll let you into a secret. I think you, Mark, were the first person to ever mention the term digital nomad to me many years ago when you were talking about how you wanted to be a digital nomad working from anywhere in the world. I really like the idea, actually, although I never implemented it, but it's definitely a very interesting idea. But I think lots of people now, especially with the pandemic, that has enabled and accelerated this concept of being a digital nomad. You know, think of yourself if you're a consultant or a developer or anyone working technology or even graphic design. You can work from anywhere in the world as long as you've got a good internet connection and you can sit on a desk 9 to 6 or 7 or whatever the hours you're doing. You can do the job. You don't have to be physically in a certain country or a certain city.
Yeah. And I feel that even the good internet connection is almost becoming a non-issue now because, you know, Starlink here I am. I'm 40 minutes from my closest city. I'll never get fiber here. It'll never be economical enough. But I have a Starlink dish, and the new Starlink form factor could easily fit in a suitcase. And I know their model at the moment, you are limited based on your geography. In other words, the satellites light up to your area specifically. So you're in a grid. But I know the long-term plan is that basically you can take your dish anywhere in the world and have consistent, reliable internet.
That would be fantastic. So. It is, I think it's definitely enabling this digital nomad concept massively. I've only got one of my colleagues and friends at Tech Club London who has got Starlink. And again, similar to you, they're very excited about it. It's obviously new technology, but I can see the potential for it. Both for the kind of the concept of enabling other maybe underrepresented areas in the world like Africa or other areas where they can have access to good internet connections, reliable internet connections, so they can learn and develop and be able to achieve their full potential. But also for digital nomads or people who are keen to work from anywhere in the world. And certainly for myself, if I, if I can get a reliable internet connection wherever I am, I would be traveling even more than what I'm trying to do at the moment.
Yeah, I think it's only a matter of time before one, Teslas have satellite connectivity built in. And the second thing I think that will happen is, and I'm pretty confident will happen, is that Tesla will release a mobile phone. And it'll be satellite enabled. So once again, you could go to any country in the world, won't matter. It will just work, you know?
So I think that concept amazing. Was there. Do you remember many years ago, there was a company called Thuraya, which used to have this concept of satellite mobile phones. I don't know what happened to it, but it was a very interesting concept that you could have one number that works from anywhere in the world. And it uses satellites for connectivity as opposed to masts and telephony, kind of the technical telephony connections. So, yeah, we're definitely going in that direction. And I think bit by bit, this concept of being very local or having to be local to a customer or to a business or anything else is bit by bit is going to be something of the past. I would say if it wasn't the pandemic, it would have taken us maybe 10, 15, maybe 20 years for this to happen. But I think because of the pandemic now, a lot of customers are very happy to have 100% of a multi-million pound program completely delivered remotely.
Yeah, totally, totally. How did you become an MVP? How did you get into the MVP program? What was that journey for you?
So it was always about the community element. I had a role before Tech Labs London where I was working at one of the big four and I was building a Microsoft Dynamics practice there. And I really had very little time to do any type of community work. But I always felt I had a passion to do presentations, share knowledge, do podcasts like the one we're doing or any kind of similar community and learning, because I'm learning every day from the community and I feel like I have to give back to this community. And I enjoy doing that. And I enjoy helping other people, learning from other people, as well as perhaps sharing some knowledge with other people. So once I made the move into setting up Tech Labs London as a Microsoft Dynamics and Power Platform practice, I decided to go full speed onto this community journey. I did a lot of events and speaking events, and I attended a lot of conferences. And then I worked with another Microsoft MVP, if you remember, back in the day, 365 Saturday, when it first started. I worked with Riz on kind of starting to do a few events. I think one of the flagship events.
The 365 Saturday type events?
Yeah. I remember January 2018 was one of the biggest London events that we did, and we had James Phillips attending, and I did the question and answer with James Phillips, if you remember, when he talked about the Outlook client and its deprecation.
And that all blew up.
So yeah, it's great memories. Now we're laughing about it. I think at the time we were like all worried about what's going to happen, but now it's good memories. And yeah, so I think that really created the passion. And then the other thing that really helped is the community in Microsoft, the Microsoft Dynamics and Power Platform community, our community is very welcoming. You'll find people trying to help each other all the time. They genuinely don't have any other interest other than helping each other. You know, help and be helped is the motto, really. And that, again, created this community feel that got me to do more and more. I did a lot of mentorship, and I still do a lot of mentorship. I really enjoy mentoring people. Some of the people I hope I have helped early in their careers are now, you know, 3-4 years experience in Dynamics and Power Platform, and they're, you know, consultants on good in good companies and earning good salaries. So that kind of, you know, that really makes me tick. And I'm sure it does for you and lots of other Microsoft MVPs. It makes us tick to see people successful. Perhaps if I have 1% kind of input into this success, of course, it's 99.9% is their effort. But even if I have 0.1% of help to get people successful is a great achievement. It's something that I feel very proud of. And if I can repeat it with many people, it helps. So the mentorship, the events, the speaking, all led into the nomination to be a Microsoft MVP and earning this award afterwards, which was fantastic.
Yeah, it was. Well, I was living in London and talking with you that that we discussed, you know, mentoring. And of course, I looked at how could I mentor once again in a digitally nomadic type way, being remote and not in person. And it was out of those discussions with you that the 90-day mentoring challenge, you know, that I started up. And, you know, I think I've had over 400 people go through that now. Currently got 130 active people on it this time, out of around 250. Not everybody's fully active, you know, because everyone's got time commitments. Of doing it around the globe, you know. So, but that all came from, you know, I think we were sitting in a cafe in.
I remember the day, absolutely.
In London, right? Was it Pret Cafe, yeah. I feel?
It was in Baker Street. I think it was Baker Street in London. And I talked to you about my small mini kind of mentorship program, and you told me about your big idea around mentorship, which you've gone away and implemented. And it has been, you know, it's been fantastic. I heard a lot about. The effort that you, you know, people around you have done. And I think it's great. And again, you know, even if five people, benefited from it, obviously we're talking about hundreds here, but even if five people, that's quite a lot of, you know, quite a lot of achievement, quite a big achievement for many, many people to change the lives for some people and getting them into, you know, into a better career or a different career or improving in their lives. And then you build your network on the back of that, right? You've got lots of people who appreciate you and appreciate the effort that you've put into it. And that's how, you know, the Microsoft MVP helps you as a person and helps your career as well, is that as you're helping people, people appreciate that and they try to help you back. And it's just, you know, mutual benefit all the time for nothing other than the intention of helping others, but that obviously have advantages, and we end up helping each other and growing personally and as a business as well.
Yeah. I like what you said there. It's only 1%, you know, of what we do, but, you know, it's the massive effort on the mentee's part. And I really feel like it is a match lighting a fuse, right? We might be the match to light the fuse, but at the end of the day, all the activity, the engagement, the bringing value to the community comes from those individuals, right? That take the spark of an idea and turn it into something. I love it. Tell me. Let's you know, grab a crystal ball and look ahead. What do you see on the landscape, either in the community or in the business application space? What does 2022 into 2023 look like for you?
So I think on the Microsoft Business Solutions in general, I think the future, in my opinion, and I'm not exaggerating, I think the future is very bright. I think we already have a fantastic couple of years in the middle of a pandemic when other, you know, very unfortunate events happened and very unfortunate businesses have failed in other sectors. You can see that the Microsoft Business Solutions sector is growing and growing fast, and we didn't have a month of slowdown during the pandemic as a business, and I'm sure lots of other Microsoft partners had similar growth. So if we can do this during the pandemic, I think we can do even better in the recovery and the bounce back that happens after the pandemic, which hopefully we are at the start of or in the middle of, depending on where you are in the world. So I think the future is bright. I think the future, in my opinion, and I have no insight or no knowledge, so not part of my MVP or none under my NDA, but I can imagine a lot of acquisitions by Microsoft as well that would strengthen the Microsoft Business Solutions area with new products, maybe add-ons, additional features, things around AI. Again, I repeat, I have no specific knowledge of anything. I'm just expecting this as a natural growth for the community. Number one, because Microsoft is doing very well financially in general, is doing fantastically well, specifically around business solutions. Very successful few years in the past few years since probably James Phillips took on the leadership, and of course everyone around him. I think that has been very successful for many of us as well. And then, in addition to this, then the growth of the market of Microsoft Business Solutions hopefully is going to be reflected by growing into a much bigger, maybe untapped market areas and market sectors, but also hopefully winning some of the market share from some of our Microsoft Business Solution competitors, without mentioning names, but you know who I'm talking about. I think the future bright in this regard. It's not an easy battle. It's not an easy challenge. It's definitely a hard challenge for a lot of us. We face kind of non-Microsoft competitors every day, and we're winning by focusing on innovation, rapid deployments. Our motto in Tech Labs London is impactful innovation rapidly deployed. You know, four letters, four words, but we really genuinely believe in. And I think that's how we can compete against some of the maybe old school vendors that might have good products, but not as innovative and as advanced and as modern as the Microsoft Business Solution. So yeah, I think the future is bright, and I think working together, all of us in the community, would help grow that, grow this market. I think the big challenge we all have is going to continue to be the talent and the availability of good talent and good resources and good people in the community. And that goes back again to the same point, which is the more we work as a community, the bigger talent pool we will create, the more opportunities we'll give to people, the bigger the community is, the availability of resources gets better and better. So it's a win-win really for everyone. We help other people to grow and learn, and they come into our community and help us to have more resources.
Thank you, Mohammed, for coming on the show.
Thanks, Mark.
Hey, thanks for listening. I'm your host, Business Application MVP Mark Smith, otherwise known as the NZ365 Guy. If you like the show and want to be a supporter, check out buymeacoffee.com/NZ365 Guy. Thanks again, and see you next time. Before you go, a quick reminder that the 90-Day Mentoring Challenge kicks off on the 1st of April. Every cohort, I hear people say that surely this group has been the best one ever. The true magic of the 90-Day Mentoring Challenge is the connections formed between a group of people who are committed to learning with and from each other. Will you be part of the best cohort yet? Use the code PODCAST for 10% off at checkout. Visit ako.nz365guy.com to see a detailed curriculum and hear what past participants have to say about the challenge. I can't wait to help you discover the unique value you bring to the community and just how far you can take your career.